I'm Ernst Zündel with another Voice of Freedom program coming to you from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Today I'm going to introduce you to a very interesting German academic, a man whom I've known since my, almost I was saying, boyhood, since I grew into manhood. I read one of his trailblazing books after I came to Canada, and the book was called Wahrheit für Deutschland. In translation, in English, it was available only 10 years after as Truth for Germany. And it laid the groundwork for many of my own thoughts and actions in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and now in the 90s. The man's name is Udo Walendi. He's a German political scientist. He is the publisher of a series of popularly sized magazines, somewhat like Time Magazine or Newsweek, a little larger in format, and it's easy reading. He has produced 65 volumes of these highly interesting condensed analyses of history, and it's called Historical Truth or Historische Tatsachen, a whole series up till now, 65, some of them were kind of put on an index in Germany, an index similar to what happened in the Middle Ages with writers that were kind of disagreeing with the official church line. Udo Walendi, you are in Toronto. You gave a lecture in Washington about one of your very popular books called Forged Photographs That Malign the German Nation. So you have been a kind of a bulwark, a trailblazer with your books to try to give mental food for thought for the Germans so that they could dig themselves out of this tragedy that befell them in 1945. You were born where in Germany and when?
Yeah, I am born in Germany in Berlin in 1927 and was educated in schools in Gießen on the Lahn, Berlin, in East Prussia, mainly. And 1943 I was Luftwaffenhelfer, and then Reichsarbeitsdienst at the end of the war, German army, captured in Denmark. And after releasing, I went to school again in Mönchengladbach, and then I studied in Aachen journalism, and then political sciences in Western Berlin from 1950 to 56.
To North American ears, that sounds like one fantastic career, because you already were a soldier and became a prisoner when you were 18 years old?
Yes, surely.
Was that not unusual?
No, yeah, that was the situation of the German people, no?
In 1945?
1945, yes.
Of course, North Americans, they take a look at you with your blue eyes and your aristocratic bearing, and they say it's a typical German officer type. Were you raised in your family as a pro-national socialist when you grew up?
Yeah, I was educated in national sense, but not extremely, and not special national socialism, not... I was educated also Catholic church, mm-hmm. but also not yet dogmatically. I had a free education.
So the North Americans, because of so many anti-German films, have this notion that German parents in the 1930s, when you were growing up, were indoctrinating their children with pure Nazi propaganda. That's why I'm asking you, what was the education like when you went to school? Did the teachers insist on Nazi propaganda, or what was it?
No. Nazi propaganda was a clear history in which we were educated. We were told about the Versailles Treaty, about all the irregulations about the Eastern German provinces in that time. I never remember that we were educated with lies. Never.
So even now that you are sitting in front of us with white hair, and you're obviously a mature man. You do not believe that when you were a teenager that you were manipulated?
No.
So even after, when the war was over and National Socialism was defeated as a system in Germany, you find and you keep saying now today that in your childhood, in your youth in Germany, you were not indoctrinated with false propaganda, but what you were getting was balanced history teaching?
Yes. Yes, surely. But the lies began after the end of the war, and there the lies were dominating nearly all fields of the political science.
North American viewer listens to you, you're a young man, wartime generation, and I'm absolutely sure people who watch us will say, that's incredible, what is this man saying? That the Nazis, always this word Nazis, did not indoctrinate their youth. What was the curriculum, the school plan? Explain to our viewers what it was like as a 12-year-old or 14-year-old in the German school under Adolf Hitler. You got into school in the morning, let's say 8 o'clock or whatever. What happened? Give us a day by, give me one day in the school of Udo Valendi.
Yeah, that's a normal school day. There's not a speciality to
okay.
to
Tell us what happened. You got into the school. Did you have to stand up? Were you in uniform? Did you have to stand up and make a Hitler salute?
Yes. Not in uniform.
You were not in uniform?
Not in uniform, no.
So
but we greeted our teacher at the beginning with a German greeting, yes.
Yeah, with a Heil Hitler goes, right?
Yeah.
And then how about religion? Many people in America think that you did not get religion in German schools. Was there religious teaching in German schools?
Yes, it was, but it was of your free will, if you will take it or wouldn't take it. But I know I was Catholic educated, and we had special teachers therefore. And it was not so. It was not so. No. Not so much
emphasized.
No. It was, and during the war, I believe we had no religious education anymore.
But it was not. You see, the North American has this feeling that as soon as Hitler came to power, the crucifixes were ripped off the wall, and that young people were yanked out of religious instructions in school?
No. You remember that in the German army there were religious officers and
chaplains,
army chaplains. Yes, and before the war, I saw the German army troops were going into church in their units, and who liked it? No, not compelled, but who liked it?
Now you said that you were a Catholic. When you were a boy, you were a Catholic, and your father was a Protestant.
Yeah.
Now, you went to Catholic church?
Yeah.
And did your friends in school make fun of you because...
Oh, no.
it was not that you were, nah.
No. There are no discussion about that. There were never troubles. I don't remember any troubles about that.
Now, another very important point is, many people in America have been told that you, your generation of German children, were asked to spy on your parents. You know, that you, the teacher said, go home and tell us if anybody says anything against Adolf Hitler, come and tell us, and that then the Gestapo would come and go and pick up the parents.
But never heard it. From nobody.
But was there not this feeling that you were oppressed as people?
The situation was so that the people of Germany was eager to help the German government in all its doing. There was never a people who flagged so much on free will as the Germans did.
In other words, you are saying to us that the German population generally, or by the greatest majority, was in favor of Adolf Hitler's government?
Yes, surely.
And you, as a young person, did not sense that there was like coercion or oppression?
No, I didn't feel it. I didn't saw it.
Now, when these Hitler youth groups and Pimpfe, you know what you call it? When they came up, were you manipulated or forced to join that?
No, I was, not forced, but it was empfohlen.
Encouraged.
And encouraged to do that by parents and by the teacher too, yes.
And the reason?
And then, but,
and the reason? Why would they? Why would the parents say, go to this?
Yeah, no, we learned songs, we were disciplined, and we had undertaking there, and had our friends there, and it was a nice time.
Ah. For the same reason that American parents would send their children to the Boy Scouts?
Yeah, surely.
For the same reason?
Yeah, surely.
Now, did you ever, in school, when you were that young, get taught about Jews, negative things about Jews? Were you indoctrinated or brainwashed against Jews?
No, we were not brainwashed, we were not doctrinated. We saw the Stürmer, for instance, only on the black table and in the streets. It was placated there, but nobody mentioned that. And in school, this was no theme.
Nothing in your school books?
No.
Anti-Jewish?
Yeah, I don't remember.
The teacher did not indoctrinate you, saying the Jews are evil?
No. That was not... No, my most impressive times in school were in Gießen, from 37 till 39, and then in East Prussia. In both cities, or in both regions, this theme was no theme for us.
Mm-hmm. It was not in the curriculum. It was not part of the everyday school teaching.
No.
You did
no.
not have workshops on
no.
how evil the Jews were?
No. Never, no. It was no theme for us.
And how about at home? You know, at home, when you came home from school, was
there... Yeah, even our family didn't discuss that.
And how about friends of your family? Maybe you were an exceptional family. People will say, oh, he's the one German. Zündel has found the one German. Well, they didn't do that, right? So I want to find out, how about your friends? Did you have, I mean, your father was a member of the National Socialist Party.
Yeah.
Did you have friends ever when you went to visit or something where this topic was discussed?
No, never. With us, never.
Do you think that you were raised as a young man in Germany, as a boy and then as a young man, as an extreme German nationalist? You know, where you... like almost a chauvinist, you know,
we lived a normal life. We were not extremists.
Okay,
I can't say anything about that. This was no theme for us.
No. That's incredible, you see, because the North American perception of a person of your age in Germany was that you were the most highly indoctrinated generation. And American army films were made for the troops, for American troops going to Germany, warning the soldiers specifically that they were going to face you, your generation, as being highly indoctrinated Nazi fanatics.
No, it's perhaps in every time so that special people from one side of the front only has this special information about the foe on the other side. But they don't remember that the situation from the other side is a very, very other one. Yes, they are only from here, from America, informated only in a special propaganda way too. Mm-hmm. And didn't see how it was real in Germany. The people in Germany were not under dictation, only doing shall I say it, are not unterdrückt an der...
they were not subjugated.
Yeah. So not subjugated, but they did it with their free will, what they did. Mm-hmm. And the situation in Germany was in another way as it was said here in the Western world. They, for instance, 1933, the situation was a war in within Germany, mm-hmm. Between the communists and the nationals and the others. There were no living situation. There was a very, very troubled and deadly situation in Germany. But the Americans, for instance, special groups who dominate the press, will only tell you that Hitler was a dictator and the other peaceful people. Mm-hmm. For instance, the communists are the peaceful friends of the civilization. That the situation was others. Hmm.
So, in a nutshell, then.
In
einer Nussschale, in a nutshell.
Ach so. Right,
you had in effect then an almost neutral type education. Politically, you had an almost neutral type. You were not indoctrinated in one direction or another? Did you have no racist propaganda in the
school? No. Racist propaganda. What's racist propaganda? We had, surely, we were told about races, yes, surely, yes, but not in the propaganda to discriminate any others. Mm-hmm. That never.
No.
The races, the other races were other people, yes, we have to respect them, mm-hmm. yes, but not as Herrenrasse, as they say, and mm-hmm. Untermenschen or Sklaven, that we were not educated in that sense.
So what you are saying to us, a man who went through that period in Germany, that you were not misinformed or manipulated to hate other people?
No, never.
So, when the war ended, and you were 18 years old, and you came British prisoners of war, you spoke English, and you also learned Russian, were you surprised by the way the Allied propaganda portrayed the Hitler regime? Were you surprised?
Now, surely I was surprised, because I saw that they are not correct. They are lying, because they robbed our eastern provinces, murdered millions of German people, and said that's a Befreiung.
An act of liberation. Yes.
An act of liberation that can't be correct. And that's only a part of all the complex of lies, yes. Mm-hmm. Because that was a question, that was the Grundlage,
the basis
on which I studied political science, to see what is right and what is lie. What is lie? What are the lies?
Were you surprised that the Allies, the Western Allies, allied themselves with Stalin? Were you surprised by that?
No, surely. I can't understand that. I was surprised, no, surely.
Did the German people comprehend what that really meant, that a murderous regime like Stalin's regime was salonfähig, meaning was acceptable to the Western democracies,
and
Hitler was not?
That is one of the understandable things in the Western world politics. One of the things, and the same thing is to give the guilt to the Germans. That's also not understandable, because the realities of others, also lies, sind völlig anders.
It's totally different, contrary to the reality.
Totally different, yes. Yeah.
Now, how about the Morgenthau Plan? When you were in Germany still under Adolf Hitler's regime as a 17, 18-year-old, did you hear anything at all about the Morgenthau Plan?
That was. No, yeah, so you heard what the Allies' aims are. Yes, that we heard, but we were never lied about that. We heard it. We were not educated in a different, in a false way.
So when in 1946 and 47 and 48, the Morgenthau Plan was introduced by the Allies, then you realized that you had been told the truth in 1943, 44, 45.
Yes, surely.
So in a way, was it possible then in 1946, 47 and 48, to speak more freely in Germany, or to at least think more freely than it was, than it is now? Because in Germany now the laws are so repressive, and so many police raids against writers and jail terms against writers and so on. Was it freer in the immediate post-war period, let's say up until 1955, 58, 60? Was it freer in Germany then than it is today?
It's very difficult to answer that, because in that early years after the war, the free meaning of the people couldn't reach the publicity. They had their living and saw what the situation was, but all what the public could announce determined the alias, the victors in East and West. And
so
there you could think and what you like, but you had no influence in the publicity as a German.
So since Germany and was occupied,
yes, surely,
the Allies controlled the means of communication.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah.
And whatever you as a German thought made no difference, because the Allies controlled the radio, the newspapers,
controlled,
the licensed media.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And sent their people from the outside into Germany, and occupied all posts.
Like re-educators from America and England? These were people who were the re-educators of the Germans.
No, yeah, surely. No, if you compare it with the time of now, we are in another relation, in another situation.
Uh-huh.
Now the German government themselves are dictating the meaning, but the situation is so that also one single meaning about the main questions of our people or our history is allowed. It is very not understandable, because we are officially a democracy, we are officially a Rechtsstaat or right state, with guarantees of free meaning and so on. But the situation is that you can't have a free meaning about that, because the scientists are able to say the truth in special respects.
Okay, so let me summarize then, because our time is just about come to an end. What you are saying, it seems to me, that in 1945, 46, 47, till 1955, the occupation army, the occupation rules and regulations, told the Germans what the Allies wanted to hear.
Yeah, yeah, surely.
And so this was then officially the news, and that was the viewpoint of the victorious Allies.
Yeah.
Broadcast by their puppets.
Yeah.
Right? By their official spokesman, military government and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Control council, Allied control council, and so on. And then when the Germans gained with Konrad Adenauer what we called in Germany eine bedingte Unabhängigkeit, right, limited sovereignty in English, then that job was actually taken over by German quislings, by German puppets, vassals. And so now what we have today, almost half a century later, those same elements really repeating what the Allies said in 1945. So really, the only thing that is now, the people who tell the Germans what to think, what our history is and so on, are no longer Americans or British or Soviets in their uniforms. Now it's Germans who have been put there at the grace of the Allies.
And the situation is that I, as a scientist, as a historical scientist, are not allowed in many questions, especially I am not allowed to say the truth and to publish the truth, because we have so many laws in Germany and practices that all this were criminalized, and so it's not possible to defend our people against the accusations from all the sides of the from the inside or the outside against these accusations, because we have dual rights system in mm-hmm. Germany, a special one for the Germans and a special one for special people. Yes, and so long as it is, it's not guaranteed that you have a free speech, that you have a free science, that you have mm-hmm. a free information, and so on. And the situation is should be changed. Yes.
So, we have three celebrated cases in recent German history. Dr. Forresson, we have David Irving, and we have Hans Schmidt, the German-American. All of them, in effect, had court cases against them, or were forbidden to speak, were barred from Germany, were arrested in Germany, jailed in Germany. Hans Schmidt, the most recent celebrated case, is an American of German origin. What he said is perfectly legal in America, and he said it in America, and he wrote it in America. Then he goes to Germany and is arrested, and he is now in jail because of something that he said, which is very legal in America.
Sure.
But in Germany, it gets him to jail. Now, he could go to jail for 5 years in Germany.
Yeah, I don't know that exactly, but maybe.
An illustration,
yes,
it shows the perverseness.
Yeah, yeah, surely.
Where here is a German who enjoys the freedom in the United States, goes back to his own homeland, and ends up in jail, going to trial, and so on. Same with Fred Leuchter is another case. Leuchter, what he said in Canada in court, he was an expert. And he was a free man, allowed by the court system to do it. And in Germany,
it's the same situation as with me. My publications are only strict and exact scientifical.
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced that nothing of that, what I published, could have been confiscated here in this land.
Mm-hmm.
But it was confiscated in Germany. From my 65 magazines are confiscated 9 till now.
9 issues.
Without any discussion about the content, and only with some dogmatic Sprüche.
Decisions by
decisions, yes.
What you're painting is a terrible picture. What you're illustrating is a terrible picture of repression and of undemocratic measures.
Yes, I can't understand that too, but it is so.
So, when you come to Canada and to America, you must feel really free then, right?
Yeah, I feel free in Germany too, yes.
Not as free, right?
I can't understand many things that was going on there.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking from North America, in speaking for our program, Another Voice of Freedom, we want to thank you for coming here to share with us what is really a terrible story. But at the same time, it should also serve as a warning to Canadians and to Americans that freedom is a very precious thing, and that we should fight like heck to preserve our freedoms here in North America, so that we can help the Germans free themselves by information that only we here in North America can make available to German people. That's our job, and I thank you very much for making it possible. Ernst Jungl here for Another Voice of Freedom.